Hello and welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. My name is Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And we're joined today by Josh Sutton.
Hello.
Now, Josh is one of our success coaches. So I thought, why don't we get started talking about success? Now, you work with hundreds of our academy students.
Okay.
What do you think differentiates the people that are the most successful versus people that achieve maybe mediocre success?
Okay, so we can have all the great goals that we want to, and we all have these aspirations, but what it will come down to is, what are you doing on a daily basis? So what are those systems, I call them, that you have in place that enable you to get the results that you want to? So we could call them systems, we could call them habits, we could call them just things you do in a routine. And I think successful academy members, they get into that stride really, really quickly. They take on board the advice and they try different things, but they find a thing that works for them and they run with it. And it might need tweaking and editing, but they really run with it.
So. As in like just doing the right things that you're supposed to be doing?
Yeah, so they look at their action that they want to take and they say, right, well, I know I need to be calling people. I know I need to be kind of upskilling myself. I know I need to be speaking to people who are kind of more knowledgeable than I am. And they're just doing it regularly. But not doing it in a way that's burning them out really quickly. They're doing it in a way that feels enjoyable and pushes them, but it's the people that are still going with this routine and these habits 3 months in, that's, I think, the people that really make that kind of fast progress.
All right, so in that case then, what sort of top tips for anyone listening would you say, if you want to build successful habits as a property investor? I suppose, first of all, what are those habits? Like, what are they doing that's the difference? And secondly, how do you make a habit? How do you make a new habit? How do you break an old habit?
Yeah, okay, crikey, where do we go? So let's have a look at how you make a habit, and then we can have a look at maybe some of the habits that successful academy members have. So how do you make a habit? I'm standing on the shoulders of giants here, like James Clear with his Atomic Habits, but it's a great model. So there's essentially four parts of creating a habit, which is cue, craving, response, and reward. So very, very quickly, the cue is what's the thing in the environment that tells you it's time to begin the habit. Sometimes it's internal, like thirst, which is a cue to go and get a drink. Sometimes, if we're trying to create a habit, it needs to be a bit artificial, and time and location can be really good for this. So it's Tuesday, 7 a.m, it's time to go to the gym. So you have to kind of put that in there. So cue is the first part. Craving is the next part. Do you want to go and do it? What's that initial kind of emotional response? Do you want to go and do it? So how can you manipulate the environment to go and make it really enjoyable to do? So that's the craving. Do you want to do it? The response, is it easy to do? You've got to make it as easy as possible. So if we were saying, using the gym example again, have you got all your clothes out ready? Is everything in place? Are your headphones charged? Is your gym card in your bag? Is it easy to go and do, or have you made it very difficult? And then the reward, is it inherently rewarding to do after? Once you've done your habit, the thing that really makes it stick is, has it been enjoyable to do?
Does it give you that sort of like, oh yeah, I love that?
Yeah.
Because I actually find with the gym, it's quite funny, because the gym is one of those things that you don't particularly look forward to.
No.
You don't.
Nobody wants to go to the gym. To an extent.
You don't particularly enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
But as soon as you have finished, it is a bit like, I love that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think everything's like that though? Because there will be stuff in,
no,
like, in
Netflix
property.
Isn't like that.
But do you know in property where there will be some parts of, say, let's say, running an essay that just aren't enjoyable, however much of a habit they are. So, what?
But see, I think with running an essay, you don't need to create habits, because that's, you're reacting to issues, really, aren't you? Once you've got it set up, it's just like whatever needs to be done. I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue with people not being successful is they're not creating the habits to go out and get stuff in the first place.
Yeah.
It's like when someone sets up a new business and they're like messing around. Oh, I've created a logo and I've and what they do is they think, oh, what would keep me busy?
Yeah.
What feels like I'm improductive, but in reality that isn't the shit that needs to get done. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like getting on the phone, it's booking viewings, it's speaking to agents, it's all that uncomfortable stuff. So it's getting in the habit, I think, of doing those things. When it comes to managing it, you kind of, if someone's messaging you, ringing you and going, how do I get in? You've kind of just got to deal with it, haven't you?
Yeah.
You need to get in the habit of dealing with it. Yeah. I suppose maybe checking the messages, maybe, so you're not missing stuff. But pretty much, the bit where you need to create these habits is getting deals and getting stuff done over, I think.
So what I've described there is good for routines. So what you're referring to, I'd say, is more of a mindset, which is more of, I'm going to be the routine of making myself uncomfortable. I'm going to be in the routine of doing the stuff that needs to be done, which is really, really important. Because you can have all these little routines, but you aren't be creating routines that are taking you nowhere. Whereas if you have a mindset of, I'm going to continually push myself, continually review what I'm doing to make sure that I'm doing the things that need to be done. Like I say, not, and it's not faffing about creating websites, creating business cards, you know, it's all important.
Yeah.
But it's not the thing that moved the business forward.
Yeah. It isn't. And the thing is, it's the thing that people focus on, especially when they're getting started, because it's easy. Yeah. It's comfortable. Yeah. It's like, oh,
nice, exciting.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Oh, let's have a business planning meeting. Yeah, you know.
So I'll speak to some members and I'll say, how's it going? They're 3 months in. And I say, it's going really well. I've been watching loads of videos. And I'm going to call my first agent. I'm thinking, we're 3 months in. And I don't discourage them, but those that are successful, I call them, I speak to them a month in and they're frustrated. And I say, well, are you okay? What's up? And I say, well, I've spoke to this person, they've rejected me, and I've phoned these 20 people, and three of them were good, but the rest were rejected me, and I keep finding these problems. And I say, look, I don't worry about people like you, because you are getting stuck in, you're doing the things that need to be done. Yeah. And that is the journey you have to go on. And the sooner you can go through that, the better. So they've got into the habit straight away of, I'm just going to do the tough stuff. And it can feel demoralising after a while, but that is the journey that must be gone on to get to where you want to get to. Success lies on the other side of those difficult things.
What about the people, though, that say, do you ever get this? I'm sure you do. Where they're like, oh, it doesn't work. I've rung loads of people. It's like, how many people have you rung? Oh, loads. How many have you actually called? Just go through your phone book and have a look. Yeah. Four.
And it's like, I don't get too many of those. And I think it's very helpful being in the academy, because you might think, oh, I phoned four, but what if you're getting involved and you're speaking to the people, you very quickly realise that actually you think you've been busy, but the people are successful. It's like, oh, you know, they phoned 50 people this week, and you don't have to phone 50 people in a week, but it gives you a benchmark. There's very few people who are successful who've called three agents in a month.
Yeah. No, obviously not. No, you're not going to be.
You raise your standards to the community that you find yourself within.
Yeah.
We always say you fall to your systems, not rise to your goals, but you also rise to the community around you as well. And then you take them as a template of what you need to start doing.
Yeah, it's like Jim Rohn says, isn't it? You are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with.
Yes.
So if you're spending time with five losers, you're going to be a loser.
I mean, whether I'd term them that or not, as a coach, I see the best in everybody. But
if you're around people that are getting deals and are winning, you're going to probably be like them. You're going to be...
Because some people join the academy and they immediately, they step into these rooms where it's inner circle or live events, and they feel... They don't use the word inferior, but you can tell it's how they feel. And I said, look, you've automatically put yourself in quite an elite group of people. And I said, how many people, friends or family, do you know who have invested in themselves in the way you have? And almost all of them will say, I don't know another person. So I said, just by being in that room, you've already surrounded yourself in a group of people that are quite different to the people you're used to being with. So if you feel like I'm a little bit out of place here, fine. Because you're probably going to grow a lot. You're going to get a lot out of this because you've put yourself in a place where it's like, okay, you want to put yourself in a place where the normal behaviour is your desired behaviour.
Mm. It was interesting. That's where you grow. We were talking about running earlier on, and you run 5K in how long?
It depends on feeling. Around 20 minutes.
Around 20 minutes. Occasionally sub 20.
Occasionally sub 20.
Did Russell hold you back today?
Not at all. Not at all.
I'll hold him back.
Why would you
assume that? He just immediately left me. Hold him back.
He just waited for you at the finish line.
Got video footage of me.
I did get video footage, anyway. He did very well.
After he'd gone and got his coffee and
sat down. Yeah, did my stretching routine, read the paper,
Well, we got there and he said, right, should we go for a run to warm up? I'm like, mate, are you joking?
Did some lunges.
I did some stretching. I'm like, I'll touch my toes and stuff. Right, that's about it. Anyway, my point was, you were like, right, I want to get sub 18. Was it 18, 19?
We can say that. I mean, I was just happy to get around today. We're in March. What's I doing today?
Your goal moving forward.
Oh, my goal. Yes, yeah. Moving forward, that's my goal.
Sub 18, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, how are you going to do that? He said, well, I'm going to look at other people that are sub 18 and what do they do? How do they train? How do they respond to injury? And I think that's a very good sort of a system for achieving anything. It's like if you want to achieve, Let's say, you know, so someone's watching this, I want to have a property portfolio of £1 million. Okay. Well, what? Who are the people that have got that?
Yeah.
And what are they doing? And yeah. How did they get there?
Yeah.
And I think that's a very good blueprint to follow. You know, yeah. Copy and paste. Don't try and recreate the wheel. Don't try and figure it out.
Yeah. Well, before I habits and system is, and it's the kind of foundation of my coaching, a fundamental belief of mine, is identity. Who do you say that you are? What's your beliefs? What's your values? How do you see yourself in the world?
How do you identify?
So that's a dodgy question. So, but if you wake up in the morning and you say, I'm somebody who nobody listens to, I've nothing to offer the world, I don't have any skills or talents, today's going to be a bad day, you're going to live out your day searching for things that is the case.
Do you think people genuinely say that though, or even think that?
Subconsciously, absolutely.
Yeah,
a scary
agree.
Number of people. Scary. And the more I've done this work, the more that scares me.
So they just wake up and say, well, I'm
not say.
Not say, no.
It's ingrained, yeah. And they live out that reality. We can play a game.
Go on. Let's play it. Let's do it.
Game?
I want to play a game.
It can be edited out, but it's no good. It can be edited out. Okay. So, I want you to look around this room.
Could people play along at home?
Absolutely.
All
right. You can play along at home.
There you go.
There you go. There you go. Okay. So, have a look around this room. You've got 10 seconds. Don't say anything out loud. I want you to look for all the things that are blue.
Okay.
All the things that are in the blue. Got him?
Yeah.
Okay, close your eyes. Okay, tell me all the things in the room that you saw that are green.
There's a green pen on the board. Oh, it's behind the screen that you can't see it.
So you didn't just see that then, you just remembered that.
I couldn't remember anything.
Look, I remembered you had green trousers on, but I didn't hand just see them. Like.
Okay, so why couldn't you tell me what was green in the room?
Because I was looking for blue. So therefore, I didn't see anything green. You know, literally, though, behind that banner.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
Behind that banner, I put a green pen on the flip chart earlier.
Okay. Can you see green items in the room now?
Yes.
Okay, so why couldn't you tell me the gray? You said because you couldn't.
I wasn't focused on that.
Yeah, you weren't looking for them.
Yeah.
So you seek, you find what you seek.
Yeah.
And it's the exact same with the identity. If you wake up, and even on a subconscious, and they're almost always subconscious, you have those beliefs. You will go out into the world and find things to confirm it's true. The brain is always looking for things to confirm what it believes to be true. So if you wake up and you say, today is going to be a great day. I've got lots of people in my life that love me. People listen to what I say. When I walk into a room, people want to spend time with me. I have skills and talents that bring value to the world. You will go out into the world and you will find things to confirm that is true. And so that is the foundation of all of your actions, because everything you do comes from those set of beliefs. And that's what I think identity is. It's the story, the hundreds of stories that we tell ourselves every single day that forms the narrative of our lives. And so to go back to the point, how do you become successful? Well, embody the person that you want to become. Think about the identity of the person you want to become and say, what would that person say to myself? What would that person do? How would they move? How would they act? How would they speak to people? What actions would they take? And over time, if you can get that into your mind and work towards that person, then that is the life that you will start to live out.
However, for someone listening, again, it's very difficult, isn't it, to just think that. If you don't deep down think that you are worth listening to, for example, or you are going to be successful, it's very hard just to go, I am going to be, you know, people do have affirmations, don't they?
Why would someone think that they aren't worth listening to?
I mean, it could be lots of things, couldn't it? It could be that when they've experienced, maybe even as a child, because you get a lot of your beliefs from when you were a child,
absolutely,
right?
So
maybe when you were a child, they're talking to their mom and dad, they're like, shut up, not interested.
Okay, so from experience.
Yeah.
From experience, yeah.
And that's neural pathways in the brain, strengthen that connection over time. That comes from those experiences. So what I teach people to do is to expose themselves to a new narrative, a new identity. It normally forms something like, I call them I am statements. And so we look at the identity you want to form. So it's really, really simple. I am bold. I am someone who takes risks. I am kind. I am someone who people listen to. Normally one at a time. Don't want to do too many. And I say, expose yourself to that again and again and again. Write it on a mirror. Put it as, I think the most creative one I had was someone, they recorded it on their phone and it came on as an alarm a couple of times a day. But like, write it on your hand. Put it, I've got like bits blue tacked on my wall. of the person you want to become. Yeah. Because if you're exposed to that all day long, you're creating a new set of experiences for yourself, and that's the person you step into. And it has been one of the most powerful things I do with clients again and again and again.
I suppose if you, I think in the book, Thinking Fast and Slow, I remember he talked about if you ask someone to, for example, think about a time where they were bold, think about a time in the past where you were bold, and then they answered other questions, they thought about the other questions very much in a way of, oh, I'm a bold person.
Yeah.
It was interesting though, because he said, think of 10 times that you were bold. And then that actually made people think that they weren't bold because they struggled to think of the 10. So it was like, okay, I'm obviously not.
If you start, you can recondition yourself so that you associate and think you're being bold and you can't. So there's a new association. So you have to be careful with it. My favourite example is they did an experiment with children. I can't remember the years ago it was. It's called the Batman test. So they had three groups of children and they put them into three different rooms and they had to solve puzzles. All the puzzles were unsolvable. Sounds a bit mean, but bear with me. First group of children, they just let them solve them. So off you go. Try and solve these puzzles. Second group, they asked their children to view themselves in such a way that they would be able to solve them, which for, I think they were like 4 and 6 year olds. I don't know how they convinced them to do that. It sounds quite complicated, but that's what they were asked them to do. The third group, they told them to go and solve the puzzles, but before they did that, they had some costumes so they could go and dress up as Wonder Woman, Batman, all the Spider-Man, all these different people. And they say, dress up as this first and then go and solve the puzzles. So the first group, that was like the standard. The second group, I hope I'm not butchering the figures here, but it was something like a 13% increase in their ability to solve these puzzles.
The unsolvable puzzles.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying. But their resilience to it, the amount of time they spent on it, kind of aggregated these results. And they also recorded the ways that they spoke to themselves. The first group was very much, I can't do this, this is impossible.
Yeah.
The second group was much more, I can do this, I can try, I won't give up, da, 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 da. The third group, it was something like a 25% increase on their ability to solve it. Again, the amount of time they took, and I'm not entirely sure what statistics they took, but that's what came back from the study. And they were saying things like, Batman wouldn't give up at this, Wonder Woman would keep going at this. So it's a very basic way of saying that they took on this new identity, because they knew that person would then be able to succeed in the task. So that's even a 4-year-old, these are the 4 and 6-year-olds, were able to do it. And that's,
so next week on the podcast, when you see me dressed as Batman, you'll know why.
What's your character of choice?
It's got to be Batman, hasn't it? Batman is definitely.
You can't both be Batman.
What, I'm Robin?
I mean, you can't.
You can be Robin if you want.
Catwoman, yes.
But it's very interesting. I saw it literally this morning on social media. Very similar sort of experiment, right? Where they split. They had a classroom. It was actually adults this time. They had a classroom of adults, and they had what's it called? Where you've got letters jumbled up, and you've got to change it to another word.
It's not anagram, is it?
It's not anagram.
Oh no.
Maybe it is. I don't know. Right, we'll go with anagram.
I'm rubbish at those, whatever they're called.
You don't get the point though, right? But what they'd done was they'd given, so you had like a walkway down the middle. Everyone on the left had like really easy ones. Everyone on the right had really difficult ones, but the last one was the same. So they gave them out and they were like, right, you've got to solve a word. All right, I'm going to give you 10 seconds. Right, hands up if you've done it. Right, so the guys on the right see all the guys on the left put their hands up and they're like, oh my gosh, like, they might have. The next one, they all obviously failed because theirs were impossible. The guys on the right. By the third one, all the guys on the right had already given up.
Yeah.
Even though it was solvable, they didn't get it. Whereas the guys on the left, they all got it.
Yeah.
Because they're in the habit of getting them. They got progressively harder. And it's like, if they hadn't done that beforehand, they're, because they failed now, even like literally this was like 5 minutes. Yeah. A failure, and now they're just
that's such a small set of experiences that has primed that response to it. So let's put that in the opposite, in the positive. Imagine if you were day in, day out saying this. It's not an overnight thing, you know. If you've spent many, many years building up a set of thoughts that strengthen this idea of yourself, you're not going to do it overnight, but it doesn't take that long. We're talking maybe a couple of weeks, and people can step into this completely new idea of themselves. And that has got to be, if we go back to the original question, what separates successful students. I think successful students, they go in and they might not say, I am a property master. We can't lie to ourselves, but we might say, I am somebody who is going to run a successful property business. I am somebody who is invested in myself and I take myself seriously. I'm somebody who's going to be successful, and they genuinely believe it. They might not say those things. They might even be aware that they're saying those things to themselves, but subconsciously that's their belief. And so all of their actions flow from it. And then it's like, well, what does a successful property entrepreneur do? They're calling people all the time. They're making connections. When somebody, I've got a poster in my room of my kind of business logo, and people always comment and say, well, that's nice. It's not to look nice or make me look professional. The reason it's there is because I come from teaching. And so I'd be in the gym and someone says to me, oh, what do you do? And before I could stop myself, I'd say, I'm a teacher. And I thought, if I don't step out of that identity, I'm never going to see myself as a coach. I'm therefore never going to take myself seriously or act in a way that a successful coach would. So I bought that, so every time I step into my office, I see that and I go, that's who I am and that's my identity. Yeah. And that, it's only these small things, but again, built up over time, have a profound impact.
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
I've got a question.
Go on.
Go for it.
Only because I get asked this a lot. I think it's a big topic, and luckily we work together, so we don't have the problem, but I get asked loads. Like, what do you do? So if you've got this great mindset and you're like, I'm going to be successful, but you're not supported by your partner. It's a big one. I ask a lot, but my partner's not supported. My partner doesn't want me to do property.
Why do you want to know the answer to that?
Just well. Do you get that a lot? People are saying
they should... I just warned you up there with my answer.
Struggling, I get that.
Leave him.
I think that is because the people go, what are you going to say? Are you going to suggest I leave them? Are you going to suggest my family aren't supportive? They don't want me to do this. And I do think, especially in this industry, that is a bit stepping out from your just normal 9-to-5 job. You do, and we had it when we did it. We got criticism from our family.
That's a great question.
I think being an entrepreneur in general is not normal. Not the norm. It's not the path that is sort of mapped out.
It's full of risk. It's inherently draws that kind of absolutely.
Don't you, silly? So, what's the best advice would you give someone if they're, let's go for partner, like they're
that's a great question. Supportive. So, a couple of things. I think I'm a half decent coach. My wife is my worst client, and I'm the worst coach she's ever had. It's just the way it is. So, and the more I try and, I don't coach her, but the more I try and have an impact by direct kind of try this, try that, the less of an impact I have. I realise the best way to have an impact on my wife is to be the person I need to be, and that I will be an influence to her, hopefully. So that's... It's not trying to force something. If somebody doesn't agree with what you're doing,
do you think that's men though in general? I think there's men in general if we try and step in and try and solve the problem.
Possibly, it's hard. Well, not necessarily. I think it could easily be the other way around. I think once you find something you're passionate about and you're excited about, if the other person isn't on board with it, and quite frankly, if they haven't been part of your journey, why would they?
Yeah.
To a degree, it's a very reasonable thing to do. Then. Again, especially if we come back to identity, you've stepped into it as part of your identity. This is the thing that I'm going to go and do. If it gets rejected, it's very painful. So I completely understand why. What can you do? First thing is to not try and force it. It will happen over time. Because there's been so many things I've done in my life where people have said, you're crazy for doing that. Why would you leave teaching and go and do X, Y, and Z? And it hurt at the time. Some of those people, once you made a success of it, they come back and say, I always knew you'd be successful. I thought, that's funny, because you were telling me not. Oh, you were like throwing under a bus and telling me it's never going to work, you're mad, you're stupid, da, da, da. So that's very interesting. Just because they think it's wrong now does not mean later on that they're going to still think the same thing. More practical advice goes back to the idea of environment, and you said before, closest 5 people. It's difficult if partner is on board, but if that is the case, make sure the rest of the people that you're with, and you might be in a situation, your whole family thinks you're daft and your friends think you're daft. You've still
is
got
that what you have?
Yep.
You've still got to find your group of people. And I think that's one of the main strengths of the academy.
Yeah.
Where you are, there's no excuse not to speak to someone every single day. Whether it's an inner circle event, whether it's a mentor, whether it's just a friend you've met through it. Like, make sure you're surrounding yourself with people. I think you need to be speaking to people multiple times a week, if not once a day, even just like a text checking with somebody, and do it for other people as well. You're creating your own environment in which, again, that desired behaviour is the normal behaviour.
How important do you think it is to listen to like podcasts like this, for example? Do you think, does that add to your environment compared to, say, listening to the news?
They're both the same thing. The news creates one environment, and a podcast that is helping you to learn and grow creates another environment. And people need to realise that the news is very much, it's creating one set of, not echo chambers, one set of stories, things for you to buy into. The world's a dangerous place, things are going wrong. And again, news is naturally going to be negative because we're more drawn to negative news. It just gets our attention. The news is fighting for our attention. It always garners more attention for negative, so that's what it's going to be. It's like an educational podcast. That's always going to be, hopefully, helpful. So podcasts are helpful. Human connection is always going to trump podcasts.
Yeah.
You guys. But that's no reason why it can't supplement them. So I think both is very, very important. I think you've got to have things that are feeding you in the right way, but human connection is always going to be, I think, most important. And some people will absolutely thrive on human connection, some people won't, but I think a combination of it is, I've listened to many podcasts, and I think, make sure I listen to the ones that have a positive impact on me, but they'd never replace the human relationships that have that really positive impact on me.
Yeah.
How important do you think goal setting is and having a clear goal of where exactly what you want to achieve?
Yeah, so we talked about habits before. So there's three kind of I's I run through people, which is identity, intention, implementation. So we started backwards. We've jumped. So we've got implementation, then we jump to identity, and then you refer to intention. So
I'm going to keep going backwards.
Yeah.
We'll find something else. So the order I go in is identity. Do you know who you are, essentially?
Yep.
Intention. Do you know what you want?
Do you think most people do know who they are or don't know who they are?
Don't know who they are. They'll always give me an answer. But then if you unpick it a little bit, you start to see the fear in their eyes. Because it's very disconcerting to have your identity picked apart. But it's also one of the most revelatory freedom things that you can do to work out who I am, because there are a lot of time. So another experiment I did where you could either sit in a room for 15 minutes alone, silent with your thoughts, or receive an electric shock. I don't remember the exact stats. Again, I should probably do some research before I come on to these things, but I think it was something like 75% of men would prefer to have an electric shock than sit for 15 minutes with their own thoughts.
Wow.
So the whole idea of working out who we are is incredibly painful to people.
Did you hear about...
To be fair, I think you would struggle with that. I think you would pick the electric shock.
Me?
No, you'd be happy to sit there for 15 minutes with your phone, but just literally on just sitting there. I think you'd probably take the electric shock.
It was something like 60%.
You'd be like, how bad is the electric shock?
Not a chance. Did you hear about the Anthony Joshua thing that he did?
No.
So before his fight, he spent 4 days, he paid $2,000 to go and sit in a black room, basically.
Yeah. Why would he pay $2,000 for that? Couldn't he just do that at home in a cupboard?
Well, I suppose that...
What was so special about where he got...
People do silent retreats and things like that. And it's...
It was to embrace the darkness and the solitude for 4 days.
Oh, no, I wouldn't like that.
Isolated alone with his own thoughts.
No, that's too much for me.
I think it was before the...
It's a pretty hardcore thing to do. And again, if you're particularly extroverted like myself, that's a pretty...
Please tell me you won that fight. Because that's going to be very depressing. Yeah. He was like, and then he went on to lose...
That point in a dark place.
It was October 2023. So what was the fight he had then? October 2023. It would have been Usyk, wouldn't it? It would have been a loss, I think.
Oh. Did he then go back to his room and just
for another 4 days?
To have a think about how he got knocked out by
another $2,000 down.
That wasn't a good example. That really didn't work for him.
Shall I go back to...
He should have just took the electric shock. Yeah, absolutely.
A lot cheaper as well, probably. But sit your finger in the socket.
I wonder how valuable that... I wonder how valuable that would be. Is that figure out his identity?
I term it identity. Other people should work out who they are, what they're about. So to get your question, you've got identity, who are you, intention, what you want, implementation... Can you get what you want? So how important is goal setting? Every single action that you take, every single habit that we spoke about before, it sends you in a certain direction. And the question is, are you heading in a direction that you want to go? So what goal setting does is it puts a marker in the sand and it says, this is the destination I want to get to. And it gives us something to work towards.
Yeah.
Because if we don't have goals, we're still heading somewhere. We're just not in control of where it is. So we've all met people who are later in life. And I spoke to a woman in the gym a couple of months ago. And she'd worked for a bank for 17 years. I said, 17 years, that's good. I said, you enjoy it? She's like, oh no. I said, well, how long have you not enjoyed it for? She's about 16 and a half years.
Oh dear.
And I was like, why did you stay? And she said, I just had my first child. I just need a job to go to. One thing led to another. And I said, okay. And she's like, yeah, I've only got 5 years left to retirement. And it just made me, as a coach, it made me really sad. Because like, you're going to spend 22 years of your life with something you didn't enjoy.
Yeah.
I was like, but if you don't set a destination, you can't. It's like being in a rowing boat and just rowing out into the sea and just seeing where you end up. Like, you might end up on a paradise island if you're lucky. Yeah. You might end up shipwrecked, but you can't complain we end up. And so encourage people, have an idea of where you want to go.
Yeah.
Because again, you can step into identity. It takes you there. Your actions, everybody's busy, but are you busy heading towards something that you care about, or are you just being busy for the sake of it? So goal setting, that's fundamentally why I believe it's important, not just for the sake of it, it's because it takes you to somewhere that you ultimately want to go.
Do you think a lot of people do set them for the sake of it?
Absolutely.
And it's like, I'd like to just pluck figures.
Here's the scary part. They will set goals that they think are socially acceptable, or they will set goals that they think will make other people proud of them.
Oh, that's interesting. Goals that will make other people proud.
And so
of them.
When they burn out and get frustrated, it's because they didn't choose a destination that aligns with who they are, what they care about, which is why identity comes first.
Because I think it's important as well that you set a goal that you actually care about.
Yeah. You have to.
Because doing a business is tough.
Yeah.
Right. Whatever business you're in, it is difficult. And if, like, it's like, going back to the gym analogy, we always talk about fitness, don't we? Like, if your goal is to get a six pack, but you're not actually that bothered about getting a six pack, but you wrote it down.
Getting a six pack sucks. Getting a six, like, but someone's got to see the.
Do you reckon? I think it was decent, actually.
Oh, I mean, very good, my friend. But now, getting a six pack, like, that's a perfect example, actually, because it sounds like a good goal. Getting a six pack basically means denying yourself again and again and again and again. Now, if you're doing that for a very specific reason, which is hopefully because you're in some kind of competition, because if it's to impress somebody else, you know, again, you're doing it for somebody else. Like, that's, it's like the classic, like, lose 10 pounds. Well, maybe that's a really good goal to you, but are you doing it because you care about it or because you think it's a socially acceptable goal?
Mm.
And that's why you can't start with goal setting. You've got to start with the identity. Who am I? What do I care about? And then you build out from there and go, right, actually, I want to build I want to open my own art gallery. Nobody in my family has picked up a paintbrush in 20 years, but since I was 5, I've just wanted to do this thing. And so I'm going to do it. And now all of your decisions run through this lens of, will that get me closer to my goal?
Yeah.
And most people bury them because it's not socially acceptable. Goes back to your point. You know, I really want to make some money through property. I love housing. I think it can provide some great opportunities. But I don't want to tell anybody. So they set other goals they don't care about.
I tell you who I think was a bit of a badass at that, having a goal that they cared about. Arnie Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
Like, because he said one of the real powerful things, because he knew what he wanted to do. So he wanted to go to America and be Mr. Universe. Then he wanted to be an actor.
When he wanted to be
a big actor, he was getting offers to do, like, massive money, to do, like, sponsor people's products, things like that. And he's like, no, because that won't help me.
Exactly.
Get to where I want to go. So even though it was great, if he hadn't had the goal, he'd just go, oh, I'll take this opportunity. But and everything he's done, Mr. Universe, being actor, governor of California. Yeah. He's just so dedicated on the goal.
Because he knows the destination.
Yeah.
And then, so he knows who he is, and then he knows what he wants. And then every all his decisions goes, like I say, through that lens of, this is what I'm working towards. And without those, you just stay busy. But again, it's, using the rowboat analogy, it's like rowing around in circles. You row really, really fast, but you're not going anywhere. And someone might be listening to this now and going, oh, that's me. I've been wasting my time for 10 years. Okay. But today's a new day.
Yeah.
And the question is not, what have you been doing up to now? The question is, what are you going to do tomorrow? Don't wait for tomorrow. What are you going to do today? And so that's great. You've never gone backwards. You've always headed somewhere. And if you know you've wasted 10 years doing something that you don't care about, use that as a catalyst to go on to something better.
Yeah.
And then that success that you will experience will have only come about because of those past experiences that you've wasted. So I never see it as wasted time. You're always using the past either for good or as a catalyst to move you on to something better.
Yes. No, I try and never regret anything I do, because there's been years I worked at M&S and I hated it. But I always think, well, at the end of the day, could I have left sooner and not done 5 years there? Yeah, I could have. But I did learn some stuff along the way. I've got friends still from there that I wouldn't have gained. So I always
You make pretty good coffee now.
It does.
So I kind of think you can always use those experiences. Yeah, you know, you can stay in a job too long, really. But there's always going to be something you've learnt to help you. And that's made me who I am now.
Absolutely.
And you never know either, do you? You never know if you went back and did differently.
Yeah.
Like the whole, the butterfly.
Yeah, I try and never think, oh, I wish I could do it differently and live it again. Because I kind of think, what's the point? You can't.
Yeah.
So you might as well just make the most of what you now can do.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so we get our identity sorted. Know who we are. And not just
make it sound really easy. It might take you. It's a lot. Let me tell you.
This is a 20-minute thing, guys. Yeah. And you'll be away.
I thought by tomorrow.
I thought it was 15 minutes in the dark.
Yeah. 4 days.
Well, he needed 4 days because he's got a lot to him. 15 minutes in the dark. Work out who you are.
I should caveat: this is a lifelong process, and eventually the hope is you step into that person you want to be.
Yeah.
But then it's okay. So what's next? And it's. People say, well, does that mean you're never satisfied with who you are? The opposite. You're happy with who you are, but you always say, well, how do I evolve into an even greater version of me? So it's always appreciating the moment, appreciating who you are, your flaws and your strengths, but saying, where do I go next? But it's a lifelong process.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can always improve and always get better, right?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
So quickly work out who you are.
Yep.
Then you quickly set some goals that are truly important to who you are and aligned with your identity.
Yep.
Then you work out, okay, what have other people done that I've got there?
Yeah, that's
educate
helpful.
Educate yourself
on
what to do. Because it's important, you know, they say, take action, but it's important that you take educated action.
Yeah, so in getting better at something, I always say there's three parts to it. There's doing, reviewing, and educating. So doing is the going out and doing it. And if we say it specifically to property, it's not the, want of a better word, fluff. It's the calling, viewing.
Yeah.
Putting offers in, getting it wrong. I have a little saying, if you're getting it wrong, you're getting it right, because that means you're putting yourself out there and you're learning.
Yeah.
So that's really important. So the doing is most important. The reviewing is then speaking to mentors, speaking to friends, speaking to people who can help you, reviewing your own actions and saying what's worked, what hasn't worked. That then accelerates your progress so that you're doing something different and you're always kind of moving forwards. And then the educating is kind of shortcutting your mistakes. So if you can educate yourself, then it potentially stops you making some of the mistakes. So the doing is most important, then reviewing and educating.
Yeah, because you either pay for your education or you pay for your mistakes.
Yes.
Yeah, you can either learn from other people's mistakes or learn from your own mistakes.
You're always going to learn 10 times. I don't know what the official data is, but you're always going to learn many multiples more by doing. But if you can learn from other people's mistakes, absolutely.
Get there a lot faster.
Yes.
I agree. Yep. Right, so you go out there then you start taking action. And how do you think they discipline themselves? Because one of the things, we were talking about this yesterday actually. Basically, when me and Josh meet up, it's like having a podcast just not recorded.
Yeah, it is actually a little bit.
This is like listening to just one of our normal conversations.
I very much enjoyed them.
Yeah. So I forgot what I was going to say now. Talk about me and Josh being like a podcast all the time. No, what was my... Where was
so
I going
was it
with
to
this?
Do with sport or losing
what
weight?
What after they've done this? I'm disciplined.
Ah, yeah. We were talking yesterday about how people just fill the time.
Yes.
To make like, oh, I work 9 to 5, so... and meetings. Let's have a meeting about it. How do you... Would you say is the best way to be taking disciplined... proactive action, because some people can be get more done in an hour than most people get done in a day.
Yeah.
So this comes back to the second part, intention. Do you know what you're supposed to be doing? So the way I teach people is you take your long-term goals, I call them dreams, they're like internal longings, things you've always wanted to do. They should just sit somewhere. If we park those, from those should come your annual goals, so, or your long-term goals, let's say 12 months. So you've got your annual goals. These should be big, scary, outcome-based goals that you want to achieve. Then you break it down quarterly, monthly. So these are still outcome-based goals. Then we go to weekly tasks. These are goals. These are inputs rather than kind of outputs you want to achieve, things that you're doing. Then down to daily tasks. So, and you have to do it that way around, because if you just do daily tasks, those are people who are busy, but it's not, hasn't formed from these long-term things. It's the big goals that scare you. You break them right down into easy to do, manageable tasks.
Yeah.
And what happens then is, I know I've got my pad at home, and I know if I do my daily tasks, I'm going to complete my weekly tasks. And if I complete my weekly tasks, I'm going to tick off my monthly goals, which means I'll tick off my quarterly goals and my annual goals. And you have to have both. I don't struggle in the morning to get up and be motivated to do my work, nor do I procrastinate very much because I know what I need to do because of those daily tasks. So how do people waste time? They get up and they're not sure what to do.
Yeah.
They say, I know I need to do something, but I don't really know. I should probably call those people. I've said, I wrote
what I should
goal.
Do. Let's make a logo.
Yes. Yeah. Or and it might be.
I hate logos, by the way, as you can probably tell.
Yeah, I mean, it just, yeah. Logos and websites.
And names. Name. Yeah. I'm becoming compliant. I'm a deal sourcer. I've become compliant. How many deals have you sold? None. Why become compliant then?
Yes, yeah. Those bits that complement the doing. So you've got to know what you've got to wake up and go, this is, I know what I'm doing today. Because even if you've got like some good kind of habits, I'm going to call 5 agents today. Okay, but have you specifically set to do that? Are you just guessing when you wake up? So it's got to be, I'm all for kind of being flexible and for taking opportunities when they come. Absolutely. But there's got to be a sense of this is roughly where I'm going and I've got an idea of what I'm doing today. I think that's really, really important. And so people end up not disciplined when they're just guessing what to do, because then it's a constant like battle of what should I do now? What should I do? And if it's like if you're self-employed and you're not in that kind of routine of going to maybe an office, it's even more tricky because you are managing your own time then. So you can do things like time blocking, and I do some time management with people. It's more fundamental, though, that you know why you're doing what you're doing. And if you start with the long-term goals, and especially if you're right, I get people to write a big why statement, what will it mean for you if you achieve this? And then you can kind of break it all the way down to today's task. You go, right, I'm doing this because it will help me achieve this, and then this, and then this, and then this. Yeah. So that's a huge part of it.
So usually what I do is on a Sunday night or sometimes Monday morning, if I don't get around to it on a Sunday, if we're out or whatever, the first thing I'll do is I'll work out what are the key things I have to do this week.
Absolutely.
So before I just start getting into stuff, it's like, right, what do I need to achieve? What would be a good week? If I can do X, Y, Z, that'll be a good week. Yeah, okay. And then I literally just a notes page on my phone.
Yep.
I just tick it off
as
I've done.
Yeah, you can break it down into daily. The daily will probably come from the weekly though. So if you wake up and you go, right, it's part of my kind of journaling questions in the morning. It's like, what's the one thing that needs to get done today?
Yeah.
And that just gives you that laser focus. And I think, and sometimes, let's say it's a Saturday, the most important thing I might do that day is be present with my children when we go out for a family day.
Yeah.
And it sounds a bit contrived, kind of targeting myself to enjoy the day with my family, but it's a good focus. It reminds me, actually, there's lots of things you could be doing, but this is the one thing for today.
Well, here's an interesting thing, because we had this conversation, because I was saying, because obviously I'm very busy with work, and I was saying to Anna, like, oh, I want to diarise time for spending time, like, for even if it's like Monday night.
And she got a little bit offended.
She was offended.
Oh, really?
She was like,
oh,
let's dive in. She's
going to just turn into a counselling.
She's like, I'm a qualified counsellor, but we'll do, you know, we'll see where it goes.
She's like, you need to diarise time. You should just want us. I'm like, yeah, but if I don't diarise it, it doesn't happen.
Here's what's interesting. So from your perspective, you're thinking, you've got to diarise it. You should just want to.
Yes.
From your perspective, you're saying, that's me, like, really taking it seriously.
Yeah.
So you're both got the same kind of view of it, but from the complete opposite, it's two sides of the same coin, where you're saying, this is how I'm, you should just want to do it naturally. You're thinking, well, I'm specifically putting, I'm sacrificing all the things that I could be doing and specifically doing it. So they're both right.
If I don't diarise the gym, I won't go.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So
because something else will take its place.
Yeah. Because you're always going to, I'm always going to have something that comes up.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I deliberately diarise, I agree. We're right. Women.
But I totally get you. It's like, why do you need to put something like family, which should be your number one priority? Why does that need to go in a work calendar? Yeah. You should just want to do that.
Yeah, that's how I see it. I'm like, well, surely that is obviously how you're going to spend your Sunday. Like, why would you?
Why do you need to block out other stuff? Why would other stuff even take that? So, totally see it from both points. I do what you do, and I block it out, but I totally see it from both points. And it, but it, you both have the same desire of wanting to prioritise the thing that's most important to you.
Yeah.
There's a diplomat as well. Yeah.
That was a good sit on the banter, wasn't it?
Have you got some splinters there?
Any more marriage questions? No, don't ask me about marriage questions.
What else are we struggling with?
So what would you say then, I suppose, rather than the theory behind it, it's just some general practical advice. People that are smashing it, killing it in property right now, what are they actually doing on day to day? What sort of tasks are they
okay,
right now?
Try this one, size. Might be a bit of a strange one. So you can wet a sponge, but you can't dry it.
You can wet a sponge, but you can't dry it. I reckon I could dry it. Hair dryer.
I just thought I'd let that lie for a bit silent and see how long we go. Okay, so I give you a bone dry sponge.
Right.
How long would it take you? Presuming there's a source of water nearby. How long would it take you to wet that sponge?
Second.
Yeah. Seconds. How long would it take to return that sponge to that bone dry condition?
It depends. What equipment do I have?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No, okay, no, I'll give you some equipment. I'll give you a hair dryer. Towel, newspaper.
5 minutes.
To get it bone dry.
Yeah, I reckon so.
Okay. So it takes you not infinitely, but a lot longer to dry this thing out than it does to wet it. And the point here is that there are some things you can rush and there's some things that you can't. And I think that really separates some of the successful Academy members from others. So what are the things you can rush? You can go out and you can be speaking to people straight away. You can be making viewings very quickly. And again, the people who say, I want to do 6 months of training before I do my first call. No. Get the sponge wet. Rush into things. Rush into making mistakes within reason. Rush into your learning. But there's some things that you can't rush. So going through the motions.
But getting wet is something that you can rush.
It's knowing. You can rush some things in a business, but there's some things that you just have to let them be, and they take time. So, let's talk about property. Can you kind of dive straight into calling people and making mistakes and doing viewings? Yes, you can. You can do that within weeks of starting. But can you rush going through the motion? Can you avoid making all those mistakes? Can you miss out all of the difficult parts? No. And I often say to people, like, you can't see doing something like investing in yourself, like joining an academy, as step one and step two, money falling into your bank accounts. There's probably 20 steps in between.
Yeah.
You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have setbacks. And you don't know how they're going to appear yet. There's going to be things that are going to happen. You're going to have to learn how to maybe network. You're going to have to learn how to maybe market yourself. There's things you're going to have to learn that you can't skip out.
Yeah.
And I think people are successful. They know the bits they can rush and they get stuck in and they take the action. But they don't get overly frustrated with the things that they can't.
Okay.
And so I think that's... It's going to be really important for some people to hear. It's like, actually, I'm doing everything I can, but I'm just not getting there as fast as I want to. It's like some things can't be rushed. Some things can.
But others,
some things can't.
Do you know what, as well, I also do think that some people become successful in their own time.
Yeah.
So like some people I'll be chatting to, it took them like 6 months to get their first deal, or it took them a year, and they're just like, I just want to get all the education done, and then I'm going to go. And that's the right speed for them. And then other people are like, 2 weeks in, they're like, oh, make 10 grand. And you're like, wow, that is amazing. But it's you don't need to judge yourself of other people. It's
no.
Like when I run today, obviously, I haven't run for over a year, I play football, but it took me 30 minutes to run 5K. It took you 20, but I wasn't trying to compete with you. I was happy with 30 minutes because I'm just running my own race.
Yeah, so perfect example. Can you rush how quickly you make progress? Yes. If you go out 3 times a week for the next 6 months, you're going to get to whatever standard you get to far faster than if you went out once a month. So you can rush that. Can you skip all of that?
And just suddenly be,
You've got, even if you go out, 5 times a week, 6 times a week, 7 times a week, you can accelerate it and you can kind of rush the amount of sessions you get in, but you can't skip it altogether.
Yeah.
And you say, even if I got 7 days a week, which probably wouldn't be a good idea, it's the equivalent of phoning 50 agents a day. You're going to burn out.
Mm.
So don't do that. Create a routine that works for you. But can you, go back to the running, can you skip that process entirely and just wake up and be there? No.
Yeah.
You have to let some things take their course and take their time. Can you accelerate it? Absolutely. Can you skip it? No. And so the people that this mainly refers to is the people that are taking great action and maybe a month in, 2 months in, they're busy, they're doing what they should do, they're not faffing about, they're doing what they need to, but they're like, I haven't got results straight away. And it's like, it you're on the right path, you're doing the right things, but it just takes a little bit of time. You know, a single, very successful person who has got nothing wrong on their journey.
No.
I can't think of one.
No.
And actually, the most successful people, they have the longest catalogue of mistakes and errors.
Well, successful people fail a lot more than unsuccessful people.
And that's not like a random coincidence. It's the very reason.
Mm. Yeah.
And I know it sounds a bit cliched, but it's failure isn't maybe part of the journey. It's a prerequisite to success.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that people try and rush. They want to like skip out the failure bit and the frustrations and like just instantly have the sponge dry. But it you can do things to accelerate it, but there's still a process that you have to go through.
Yeah.
And
I also think it's very important as well that you enjoy the process.
Yes. Well, enjoying the process means that you continue it for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Consistency.
Yeah. So when people say, right, I'm going to phone 50 agents a week, and I say, will you enjoy that? Oh, no, but I'll just get it done. Will you be doing that in 6 months' time? No, it's just a short-term thing. Then don't do it.
Yeah.
Unless you have a hard deadline that you've got to... It's like losing weight. What's the best way to lose weight? Do something that in 12 months' time you'll still be doing.
Yeah, don't do it. It becomes a lifestyle. And then put it all back on. Yeah.
Unless you've got like an event or something you've got to like... And then you're going to have to just starve yourself for however long. That's not advice, can I just say? Then
so I otherwise, just recommend that you
just
starve yourself.
How long did you just recommend they starve?
But so that you can do it, but it's not a healthy way to do it. It's not the right way to do it. And so create, unless we come back to those habits, that implementation, create something, you wake up and you go, I get to do that today.
Yeah.
That's the best routine to have, because you're going to be doing that in 6 months' time. It's the same with the running. Should you go out 7 days a week, you will make the most progress, but you'll hate it. So it's like, do something you enjoy, because it's far more important that you enjoy doing this in 12 months' time. And actually, in a property journey, I often say to people who are getting frustrated that things don't happen quickly enough, and I say, if you woke up in 5 years' time and you have an amazing property business, you're doing all the things that you want to do, it's making you more money than you know what to do with, and it's everything you dreamed of. In 5 years' time, would you take it? Everyone says yes. It's a silly question. I then say, would you wait 4 years for that? And that's where you get the splits. It's like, I wouldn't want to wait that time. And I said, that wasn't my question. Would you be willing to? Are you willing to put in the time and the effort and the energy to get to that place that you want to? Are you willing to let that process pass? Now, the odds are you don't need to wait anything like that time. But it's what I call zooming in, zooming out. You have to zoom out, look at the big picture that you're trying to achieve. Then you zoom into the daily task and the busyness. But after a while, you need to zoom out and go, okay, I'm 2 months in, I'm doing all this action. Is things heading in the right direction? On a day-to-day, I feel like I'm doing things, but it's not moving fast enough. But if I zoom out, are things heading in towards that destination that I want? And this may be applicable to certain people. It's the people that are working really hard, that want things now, and they're just getting frustrated. It's like, you're doing okay. Sometimes you've just got to let these things pass. Your opportunity will come. You don't know where it's going to come from, but it will come. Be ready to take it.
I also think that's why it's important as well to have a look at people that have already done what you want, to see what they're doing. And then you've got to weigh it up. Is it worth, am I prepared to, you've got to seriously answer that question. Go back to the six-pack analogy. I want a six-pack. What do I need to do to get a six-pack? Am I willing to do that? You know what, I'm not.
I'm not
willing to do that.
I think I heard from Jimmy Carr, I don't know if he said it originally, but he said, people always want what you've got, not the journey it took to get there.
Yeah.
So the journey to get a six-pack, you're starving. No, you're not starving yourself. You're in a serious calorie deficit. You're probably hungry a lot of the time. You're probably tired a lot of the time. You're lethargic for maybe many, many months on end.
Yeah.
Are you willing to take that? Is that then worth it? Now, if you find something you enjoy, you don't even think about the trade-off because you just enjoy it. And when the problems come up, you don't mind working through them, because you just enjoy it.
Yeah.
You see them as a fun challenge. And this goes back to goal setting. If you take somebody else's goal, when a challenge comes up, you'll go, forget this. So you've got to be doing that thing that you really, really enjoy, that when it comes up, you say, I don't mind working through that.
Really want. If your why is big enough, you'll do it even if you don't enjoy it.
Yes. If you're really working towards something that you want but you don't enjoy it, I would question why you're doing it.
Well, it depends what it is. So if you desperately want something, let's say, for example, if you knew you had to earn money because you're child was dying of cancer and you had to get the money to pay for the treatment, even if you hate
turn
it.
That down. I'm not able to disagree with this. My consent to where this is going.
Even if you hate it, though, your why is so damn strong. you would just do whatever it took, however much you hated it, because of how important the why. Now, obviously, that's an extreme why, but I do. Normally, it's better if you enjoy it. If you can get something that you want that you also enjoy, that's where the magic happens.
Yeah. Right? So that comes down to timeline. So if it's a short timeline because there's a certain outcome, be it the event we said before, be it the example that you just gave, there's a timeline, and then you can work towards that timeline, even if you don't enjoy it. On the whole, you want to be kind of. So that applies to that, that's fine. But if you are looking at kind of life in general, it's one of the reasons that I kind of moved into the work I do now, because I was counting, I was in early 30s and counting down the days to retirement. I was like, only 20 something more years to retirement. I thought,
that sucks.
I was like, I can't live my life like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Partly for me, but partly because I'm a dad to three children. What kind of message does that send to them about work, about money, about free time, about valuing myself? That's not the person I want to be. And I said, I want to be the person where you dragging me away from my work at 70, not counting down the days to the earliest possible retirement. I want my children to see me enjoying the work that I do. That says,
and then you're early to retire because you enjoy it.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. You do it until you can't anymore. So those are like the longer term things. Like, that's what you want to be. Like, what do I want my life to consist of? What do I want it to, when I wake up? Great question. What do I want Tuesdays to look like? Monday's Monday, you know. Wednesday's hump day. Thursday's almost Friday. Friday's Friday. Da, 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 da. What's a great Tuesday look like? If I can just get up and say, oh, it would be amazing if I could do that. And it might be really difficult, really challenging, but if it fills you with excitement and you want to, then you know you're on the right tracks.
Yeah.
I agree. All right, awesome. Well, Josh, really appreciate you coming on the show. Not loads at all. Of valuable Thanks for you. Nuggets for everyone there's what are listening or watching from home. So I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week. So guys, thanks ever so much for tuning in. See you next week.